welcome to this week's edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off. Now from Columbus, here is the OHSAA Radio Network's Marty Bannister.
800 schools across Ohio began basketball practice back in November. Now it's time for those schools to begin the tournament trail with the goal of reaching the Final Four and playing for a state championship. Hello again, everyone. This is Marty Bannister, and I welcome you to the first edition of the 2024 OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. We'll spend the next 30 minutes setting the scene for high school basketball all across the state of Ohio. On this edition of the show, we'll sit down with OHSAA Executive Director Doug Youth, who also serves as the OHSAA's basketball administrator. And we'll get reports from broadcasters around Ohio to see which teams are entering the tournament with a target on their back. Let's step aside, though, first for a break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. This is the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
Everyone knows chocolate milk is delicious, but who knew chocolate milk was a noteworthy source of nourishment? It's packed with essential nutrients. Who knew chocolate milk was an exceptional source of energy? Plenty of protein and carbs to fuel and replenish. Who knew chocolate milk was a remarkable way to rehydrate? Water and electrolytes to replace fluids. When you're active, chocolate milk is a delicious way to nourish, energize, and rehydrate. Choose chocolate milk.
It's basketball tournament time, and the Ohio High School Athletic Association invites you to be a part of the action. Sectional, district, and regional tournaments lead to the state tournament at University of Dayton Arena. The OHSAA Girls Basketball State Tournament is March 14th, 15th, and 16th, and the boys take the court March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Check out OHSAA.org for brackets, tickets, and special offers. Make a trip with friends and family to UD Arena and be a part of history.
Spectrum News One, a new kind of news channel dedicated to refreshing storytelling and empowering communities across the Buckeye State. With your local forecast every 10 minutes and all of the essential news you need 24/7. Plus, in-depth shows and exclusives focused on your community. Always Ohio, always refreshing, always on. We are Spectrum News One, exclusively on Spectrum.
At the Ohio High School Athletic Association, our student athletes are going pro at being
coachable,
a good student,
responsible,
dependable,
respectful,
a good student,
dependable,
a good teammate.
Representing my school,
I'm going pro at being
a good student.
Let's go pro at respecting the game.
Respect the game.
Respect the game.
Respect the game.
The OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show is brought to you by the OHSAA Radio Network, which will broadcast every game from the Girls and Boys State Basketball State Tournaments in March. The Girls State Tournament is March 14th through the 16th, while the Boys State Tournament, March 22nd through the 24th at the University of Dayton Arena. The Girls Sectional Tournaments are now underway across Ohio, and the boys will begin their tournament trail next week. Statewide brackets for all 64 district tournaments for both the girls and the boys are posted on the basketball pages at OHSAA.org. Last week, we had a chance to sit down with OHSAA Executive Director Doug Ute at the OHSAA offices in Columbus and talk about the start of the tournament trail and other important items. Here's our chat with Doug Ute.
Winter sports tournament mode right now. It's an exciting time of the year, certainly in the OHSAA offices and really all around the state. Take us, Doug, through some of the things, though, that are going on right now to get ready for this important time and busy time of the year.
I think it probably extends, after last year's season that we start planning for this year's winter sports. And by just doing just a little wrap-up with our staff, our district boards, some of our district board members about, let's talk about basketball, how well basketball went last year. And so we work back with the University of Dayton and then work our way back. And so a lot of preparation goes in with discussion with our district athletic boards on, sites and how we're doing seating. As you know, in basketball this year, we're doing an RPI, which started way back in the year and a half ago, that discussion did. And so just a lot of preparation, we're doing now, preparation for next winter on some sites. And, we'd love to have basketball back at the fairgrounds in Columbus. And so that's an example of what we're working on next year. And hopefully we make that happen. And so, just really right now, it's just confirming a lot of details with our sites. Our our district-level sites, our regional-level sites, and, of course, University of Dayton.
Being an old Fairgrounds Coliseum guy myself, that would be fantastic if you get basketball back in that building. Where is the effort on that right now, and where do things stand with that?
Well, you know, there's a wish on our end to put basketball back in there at the Central District Athletic Board as well. And there's a huge wish on their end to put it in. And, of course, you have to secure a new floor, baskets, those type of things. And I think if that can be done, not to put it all on them, if that can be done, then I think we'll make it happen.
Another big thing that's been talked about a lot lately, and you've been going around the state to try to get the feedback and let everyone know where things stand with this right now, is the potential expansion of divisions in the OHSA. We'll take it through a couple of sides of this right now, but first of all, initially, what's been the feedback you've been getting when you talk to school administrators, ADs, and coaches about this possibility?
I think the majority of folks, and I don't think that, the majority of folks who provide feedback to us are all in support of it. And whether you're a small school, you can be the smallest school in Ohio, it affects you because moving from 4 to 7 would reduce, you know, every division on the amount of teams. Right now, in our 4 division, we have about 180 teams, Marty, that enter our tournament. And if you look in the country, that's extremely high in terms of what other states, how many teams enter their division tournaments. And so even divided into 7, we would still be on the high end at about 130 in divisions 3 through 7 from that standpoint. But it really comes down to this. We have to do what's right for the kids. And, you know, I always say this. We have to put our kids in a tournament that that school would play in that league. And leagues have changed around Ohio quite a bit. And when you think about a school, not to pick at anybody, but Western Brown and Southwest District, one of the smaller Division I schools we have, they're not in a league with Mason and Lakota West and Princeton and those guys, and there's a reason. They're not in that league because they don't get along with that, those schools. They're not in that league because they're not going to put those student-athletes in with that disparity that they have. And so all around Ohio, we see leagues change, and that's usually because we're the smallest school in here. We got to put our student-athletes in with a similar situation. So right now we're putting our kids who play in those situations in leagues, we turn around a tournament and put them in a 356 to 1200 disadvantage. And so that's been a 15-year conversation in our office. And to be honest with you, I didn't have my grandkids' pictures on my wall before that came up in the office 4 years ago. And so, you know, we're just looking at there's a lot of things that have to happen to transition into that, and a lot of changes that would occur. But, you know, this is my philosophy. When I was an administrator at school, we're going to do what's right for the students, and it's our job to figure it out.
That's one of the great things you bring to this, to everything that you do here. You've been at every level. You've coached, you've played, you've been an AD, you've been a principal. So you have a feel for all of this, and it's not something as if you just went, you know what, let's try this.
Right.
It's a process.
And I bring this up too, Marty, that I've said around our process has been working with our board for the last year on this. And so you have to remember, much like our schools, when you know, you live in a community, I live in a community, we elect our board, school board members to represent us at the school board level. And our school member schools represent their peers to represent the district athletic boards and our state board. And so it's very similar that way. So we started working with our board with that a while back. We presented online for anybody can join, and then really wanted to go out face-to-face and just, you know, have folks talk around the state. But you're correct that, you know, I feel like I always consider myself – I started out teaching and coaching. I consider myself a coach 40 years later, you know, nearly 40 years later. And so that – all those levels I've been at has certainly helped, again, to really step back. At times when you start thinking about so many things about this expansion, I think you have to pull yourself back in to say, why are we even talking about this? It's about kids. And if it's about kids, it's our jobs to make it happen.
Everybody right away points to basketball, but there are other sports that would be affected by this as well, too. Maybe take us down that road.
Yeah, so we looked at our competitive balance sports of soccer, volleyball, boys and girls basketball, baseball, softball, you know, because football already has the 7 divisions. And by the way, football has 7 divisions and 80 to 90 schools less that participate in the tournament. And so We looked at those because they're very similar. Each sport's very similar. All but soccer have over 700 schools entering tournaments. Soccer has in the 500s. And so all but soccer does that. And so soccer, we wouldn't look to go seven divisions. We'd look to go five, because anything over 500, we'd give them five. 600, six division, and 700, seven divisions. And so we looked at those. But we're also having conversations about some of our individual sports, too. But our individual sports are unique. And so, like track and field, you know, we started those conversations with the with our coaches association. We've internal conversations about that. But really, in our 28 sports, we have to, and it's my job in here, to make sure that we don't overload ourselves and get involved in too much that we can't do any of it right. And so we're kind of tiering this in there. But our message to the individual sports is we're having that conversation as well.
As we wrap up our talk, Doug, one of the things that will certainly be affected by whatever change does come to this will be changes in the way your state tournaments are conducted. I know that's a part of it that a lot of people initially pull back from, but it's part of this, and I know it's something you're looking at very intently.
Yeah, Marty, I know you enjoy that weekend as much as I do, and thanks for all you do that weekend, because you're promoting high school kids and their teams and communities, so appreciate that. But And I'm a traditionalist. I've been at every state tournament since 1977. I haven't seen every game. As a freshman in high school, our coach would bring three coaches from Clear Fork High School, bring carloads of kids down, drop us off in the morning, say, meet us here at night, and we're off and running. And so I still remember the Barberton-Linda McKinley matchup that year, which was awesome. Yeah. And, you know, my point being is I'm a traditionalist. I love that state tournament, that 3 days. But it's not about me. It's about kids. And so when you look at saying we can't take seven divisions, we don't do it in football, and we don't do it in soccer right now. We play our state semifinals the week before in football and our state semifinals out around the state in soccer. And we'd have to use that model for all of our sports. And those discussions have happened with Wright State for volleyball, Dayton basketball, for boys and girls basketball. And what's a state tournament look like? Well, it's going to look a lot different. You know, when you would think about in basketball, you know, we like that game one, game two, and a two shall meet, you know, 2 days later. And there's a lot of talk about, man, because you see those. That would be the difference. And so we'd have to play those out around the state and redivide our bracket like we do in football. But I think, you know, and I've addressed this question because this is one of the questions I get. I go around and I say, how far are you going to water it now? And I always say, I answer it the same way every time. So you come out on that football field in Canton when we present the Division VI and VII championship trophy, and you look in the eyes of those kids who became state champions at Marion Local or you know, Versailles, or, you know, I could name several schools. But you tell me that's watered down to those kids. You know, they're state champions. And then as we drive around Ohio, I know you get around a lot. You come into towns. I love to see those big boards when you go in town saying state softball champs or state football champs. And at Marion Local, it says state 19 times. You go to Maria Stein, they got to keep putting a bigger sign up. Nowhere on that does it say, yeah, but there were seven divisions. And so that community is state champions, and they embrace that. And so if we can make an opportunity for more kids to go through life being state champions, and I think that's great for us.
Doug, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Yep, thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
And again, we'd like to thank Doug Ute for his time, and we'll chat again with Doug later in the postseason. Now we'll allow our local stations to share a few messages from their local sponsors. When we come back, we'll hear from several broadcasters around Ohio with updates from their area. This is the OHSA Tournament Tip-Off Show.
The year was 1907. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, and the Ford Model R hit the assembly line. While here in Ohio, school administrators came together to form the Ohio High School Athletic Association. A lot has changed since 1907, but not the dedication of the OHSAA to education-based athletics in Ohio. School sports teach responsibility, sportsmanship, and life lessons that stay with students long after their playing days are over. Since 1907, the OHSAA seeks to prepare students not for the next level of sport, but for the next level of life.
What do basketball, choir, drama club, and marching band all have in common? They're all high school activities that offer learning opportunities not necessarily found in the classroom. They take up just a fraction of a typical Ohio high school's budget, and they go a long way to giving young people the tools they need to thrive. High school activities, they're more than extracurricular. They're extra important, too. This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Ohio.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
How do you define strength? Is it physical? Hot, hot! Or is it mental? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's whatever empowers a person to dig deeper, fight harder, and overcome obstacles that once seemed insurmountable. Discover how much stronger and more confident your children can be. Encourage them to participate in a sport when they go to high school.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Welcome back to this edition of the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show. I'm your host, Marty Bannister. Now it's time to welcome in broadcasters from around the state to talk about the top teams in their area. We'll start, first of all, with a boys basketball report from Central Ohio. Here's Chris Solwecki from the OHSAA Radio Network.
It's here. It's finally here. High school basketball playoffs have arrived. Now, most of the top teams in Division IV in the Central District, we're talking Northside Christian out of Westerville, Shekinah Christian in Plain City, they're the top two seeds in Division IV. They don't play until March 2nd, so we're going to begin today in Division III, where Columbus Academy is the number one seed. The Vikings are 16-3 overall, 9-2 in the Central Buckeye Conference, which actually made them runners-up to Worthington Christian. Columbus Academy opens their playoff run against West Jefferson, the number 21 seed. The winner of that matchup will face Howard East Knox in a round two tilt. In Division II, Columbus Bishop Hartley is the number one seed. The Hartley Hawks are 15-3 on the season, 3-1 in the Central Catholic League. Their three losses are by an average of 4 points. Their 15 wins were by an average of 14.8 points. They begin their march toward a championship against number 21, Columbus East. And in Division I, we begin with the number one seed playing in Central number 2, Olentangy Orange, the Pioneers, 19-1 overall, 9-0 in the Ohio Capital Conference Central Division. Their only blemish was by 3 points to Pickerington Central. Their first round matchup is against Columbus Whetstone. And Delaware Hayes, the number 2 seed playing in Central 3. The Pacers are 19-1 overall, 9-1 in the OCC Capital Division. They haven't lost yet in 2024. They're sitting on a 13-game winning streak. Hayes opens up their playoff run against the Logan Chieftains. For the OHSAA Playoff Preview Show, I'm Chris Solecki.
Chris, thank you very much. Let's stay in the Central District. Now on the girls' side, here's Angie Sater from Ohio Prep Girls and Girls Only Hoops.
I'm Angie Sater from Prep Girls Hoops, here to give you a quick preview of some of the top teams in Central Ohio to be looking out for. In D1, we've got Pick Central, Olentangy, Marysville, and Olentangy Liberty. In D2, we have Granville, Buckeye Valley, Centennial, and Bloom Carroll. In D3, we have Mechanicsburg, Afrocentric, Amanda Clear Creek, and Marion Pleasant. And in D4, we have Newark Catholic, Fisher Catholic, Madison Christian, and Columbus Wellington School. Guys, hold on tight because there's a lot of kids to kind of think of. And this is we're just scratching the surface here, okay? So here we go. You've got Barry Wallace, Whitney Stafford, freshman sensation, Sydney Mobley. You got Eberhardt, Tweed, the Price sisters. You've got Gigi Bauer. That's just a few from D1. In D2, we've got Ella Hazelrig, Kayla Houston, Emily Bratton, and we've got Moore and Harper out of Granville. In D3, we've got Olivia Skillings. We've got Cam Grant, Natalia Nelson, Taylor Evans. We got Ava Steele and Mary Emerson. And in D4, we've got Sophie, and we've got Kaiser and Gibson out of Newark Catholic. We've got Ellie Bruce, Kylie Ray, and we've got Odell Ware out of Wellington. Guys, there's so much talent in Central Ohio, and I cannot wait to see this all come together here in the next week.
Let's head to Eastern Ohio now. Here's Mike Breckenridge from Worcester's 104.5 WQKT.
Let's start with small school basketball in the Northeast. Girls on the Division III side, Chippewa, last year's state runner-up in D3. Chippewa's the fifth overall seed, and despite losing three players and their longtime coach resigning, they really haven't missed a beat. Katie Miller left Dalton to lead things at Chippewa, and they won the Wayne County Athletic League. Always competitive and could be primed for another deep run. If it's not Chippewa, it might be Wayndale. The Golden Bears made back-to-back state trips before Chippewa's run last year. And it means the Wayne County Athletic League has a chance to have a representative at state for the fourth straight year. In Division IV, nobody's made more state trips than the Highland Lady Hawks. 19 and counting, with six state titles. And Highland is a huge favorite to make the drive to Dayton once again. Top three players returned from last year's state semifinal team, including D4 Player of the Year candidate Ashley Mullett. On the boys' side of Division III, Norwayne made the regionals three of the last 4 years. The Bobcats now move to Division II. Unbeaten in the Wayne County Athletic League, they're seeded three overall and try to make another deep run. Also in Division III is Malvern. They come out of the East. They are going to be in the hunt once again. The Hornets have enjoyed great success through the years, but have never made a state tournament. Unbeaten at the tournament draw, the district's top seed. Maybe this is their year. And finally, much like the girls, the Highland boys are always a threat. Coming off last year's state semifinal appearance, which was Highland's 13th, they'll once again be heavy favorites coming out of the East District and Regional. Highland's made it to state 4 of the last 6 years. I'm Mike Breckenridge from WQKT in Worcester.
Now we head to the Western Ohio area and check in with the voice of the Bowling Green Falcons, Todd Walker, at Lima's 1150 WIMA.
It's great that we're about to get back on the tournament trail. And as far as the Lima area, West Central Ohio, for the girls, Ottawa Glandorf has been setting the standard for the last decade or so. They are the top seed in the Division III Elida District. They've not been to state since 2021, but that was a run of 5 regional titles in 6 years. OG will try to get back there this year as the top seed in the Elida District. Another powerhouse in our area in Division IV is Crestview. They're the number one seed in the D4 Defiance District. They've been rated in the top 5 all year in Division IV. So those are two teams to watch out for from our area. On the boys' side, some more candidates as far as making a deep tournament run, and that includes Ottawa Glandorf again in Division III. They're the number one seed in the Lima Senior District. They've been rated 2nd in the state most of the year in Division III, and of course they've been to the state tournament in Division III the last 3 years, including runner-up finishes the last 2 years. Can they finally break through with future Buckeye Colin White? We shall see. Last year in Division IV, Crestview made it from the Lima area to state. This year, LCC and Delta St. John's look to be the teams to watch. They are the number one seeds for their districts. The T-Birds are the number one seed for the Wapakoneta District, and Delta St. John's the number one seed in the Elida District. T-Birds have been rated in the top 5 all year long. St. John's has been in the poll of late as they've won 10 straight, including beating LCC and Pandora Gilboa and Spencerville and Dayton Dunbar. They are on quite a roll on a 10-game winning streak entering this final week of the regular season. So those are the big prospects for a deep tournament run from the Lima area. Reporting for the OHSA Tournament Tip-Off Show, this is Todd Walker with 1150 WIMA.
We move on now to the southeast portion of the state, and from Marietta's 1490 WMOA, here's Aaron Cassidy.
Thanks, Marty. We'll start on the ladies' side of things. In Division II for the Southeast District, it is Fairland. They're the number 2 team in the state of Ohio, the number 1 team in this district, coming off a Final Four appearance, only 1 loss on the season. A lot of people look for them to make a trip back to Dayton for Division III in the Southeast District. Portsmouth, the only team, by the way, to beat Fairland this season. They finished at the number 7 spot in the final AP poll in Division III for the ladies, but they're the number 1 seed in the district. They are followed by Peebles, the number 2 seed in that district in Division III. Finally, in Division IV, the number 7 team in the state of Ohio in the final AP poll, it is the Waterford Wildcats as the number 1 seed in the Southeast District, and number 2 is Portsmouth Notre Dame, a name synonymous around girls basketball in Division IV in the southeast part of the state. And there is one team in the southeast part of the state that snuck in the east side, one of the east regions. That is the Fort Fry Cadets. They will be the number one seed in one of those east regions, and they are looking to make some noise as they have the last few years as well. As we turn to the boys' side of things, in Division II, the Marietta Tigers in the Southeast District, and they are the number one seed. Warren Warriors, they're the number two seed. Those two teams, they hooked up in the regular season, split the series 1-1. They could be on a collision course for the convo at Ohio University in a district final. In Division III, Wheelersburg number one, Minford number two, North Adams number three. All three of those teams get a first-round bye. And then in Division IV, for the boys in the Southeast District, South Webster, number one. Fairland, they're number two. And Federal Hocking rounds out the top three as they're the number three seed. Reporting for the OHSAA Radio Network and WMOA for the southeast part of the state, I'm Aaron Cassidy.
And we wrap things up this week in Northeast Ohio. Here's David Kinder from WKYC-TV in Cleveland.
I'm David Kinder with a look at the top seeds to come out of Northeast Ohio as we get ready for the boys and girls basketball tournaments to begin. On the boys' side, in Division I, the top three seeds all coming from the greater Cleveland area. Cam Joyce and his St. Ignatius Wildcats get the one seed. The Wildcats looking for their first state title in boys' hoops in 23 years. The two seed going to Brecksville Broadview Heights, the Bees with only one loss so far this year. And the 19-1 Garfield Heights Bulldogs get the three seed. In Division II, Lutheran West takes the top spot in the Northeast District. The Longhorns, looking to make it back-to-back years, they've gone to the state Final Four. In Division III, it's the other side of town that's represented, Lutheran East getting the number one seed. The Powerhouse Falcons have their eyes set on making it to the state Final Four for a seventh consecutive time. In Division IV, JFK Catholic is your top seed. Richmond Heights, who's gone to four straight Final Fours, is the four seed. On the girls' side, Archbishop Hoban is the number one seed in Division I. The Knights looking for their first girls' basketball state championship since 1988. Down in Division II, the top two seeds coming from schools from the Akron area. Akron St. Vincent St. Mary gets the one seed, and the Copley Indians the two seed. The top seed in Division III is 19-2 Warrensville Heights. And from Division IV, the number one seed is the dynasty that is the Highland Hawks. With a look at the top boys and girls basketball teams here in Northeast Ohio, I'm David Kinder reporting for WKYC.
And we'd like to thank all those broadcasters for their reports this week. We're going to take one final break for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of the OHSA Tournament Tip-Off Show. We'll be right back.
School sports need your help. With budgets getting tighter, it's more than the games that are on the line. It's all the traditions, the community pride, the culture of your hometown high school. Plus, all those memories that are on the line, too. What can you do? It's simple. Buy a ticket when you can. Go to a game. Take the whole family. Let's do everything we can to keep those cherished school sports memories alive.
This message presented by the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The game is over. But this time, instead of asking how many goals did you score or what were your stats, try asking these questions. Were you a good teammate? Were you coachable? Did you give 100%? And did you have fun? Because those are the values that school sports instill in Ohio's young people, where winning and losing are secondary to the life lessons that will stay with kids long after their playing days are over. This is the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Educate through sports.
You practice hard. You play hard. You're always reaching for your goals. You reach for the next point, the next yard, the next win. And after the game, reach for low-fat chocolate milk. It has the fluids to rehydrate you, the right mix of protein and carbs to refuel you, and the vitamins and minerals to help you build strong bones and bodies. Fuel up with chocolate milk. For more information, visit drink-milk.com.
Tickets for the OHSAA Girls and Boys Basketball State Tournaments are now available at OHSAA.org/tickets. I would like to thank Doug Ute from the OHSAA and all the broadcasters who submitted regional reports for this week's show, along with all the OHSAA Radio Network affiliates. We will talk to you again next week on the Tournament Trail. On behalf of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, I'm Marty Bannister. Production and technical assistance provided by Adam Dell and Yamo Media. This has been the OHSAA Tournament Tip-Off Show, a production of the OHSAA Radio Network.